Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to Secret Artists Podcast, the podcast where funny people do art and have a chat. What's not to like? I'm sorry to say that this is the final episode of Series 4, and hasn't it flown by? I think so. Don't worry, we will be doing another series, but not for a little while, because we're going to have a little break. Because, boy, have I earned it. This episode, though, let's focus on what we do have. This episode is absolutely fantastic. I'm joined by comedian, podcaster, all-round creative force, Stuart Goldsmith. He knows what he's doing. He really does. And I had a lovely time drawing his friend, Noel. So if you want to see mine and Stu's artworks from the episode, remember to follow Secret Artists on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Art Pod. I'm on social media, of course I am. Twitter, I'm Annie McTweet. Instagram, I'm McGrath.Annie and McGrath.Art for my art. Stu is on social media, of course he is. What else would we be doing with our time if we weren't on social media? He's at ComComPod, which is the name of his brilliant podcast, which if you don't already listen and subscribe to, then you 100% should. Anyway, enough pre-waff from me. Enjoy the episode. See you on the other side.
This is quite intimidating because you're a podcast pro.
Oh, everyone says that. It's nonsense. It's just that most of them were done under the duvet.
Okay.
Not with the guest, but like the blurb, this bit, the intro bit.
That's
was just
how you
me.
Get all that information out. Yeah.
That's it. It's a very intimate podcast.
Right, I'm going to read you an intro. Stuart Goldsmith is an award-winning stand-up comedian and host of cult hit The Comedian's Comedian podcast. He's been on TV shows such as Conan on TBS, As Yet Untitled on Dave, and Russell Howard's Stand Up Central on Comedy Central. Stu's brand new special, I Need You Alive, will be released worldwide on the 23rd of February, and I can't wait to watch it.
That means it's on the internet.
It's a worldwide release. It's global, baby.
It's a worldwide online premiere.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
And I'm delighted to have you on Secret Artist.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be on it. It's lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you.
We've done a very limited amount of pre-recording chat.
I know. It's been
the most stressful. So let's just look at each other's eyes.
Location to find.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing?
Good, yeah. I'm sweating a lot just from sort of sprinting around Vauxhall.
Yeah, man.
It's spring.
It's warm outside.
Yeah, it really my coat's is. Too hot.
It is. It's been freezing. I live in Bristol, as you know, with my little brood, and I include my wife in that. She's quite small as well. It's just started. It's been very frosty, but a few days ago, I had one of those. Oh, we sing a song in our house.
I bet you do.
My son sings. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Oh no. Well, it's just the kids are very. They come up with stuff, and we massively affirm it and turn it into kind of. That's a thing now, I think, in a way that is. Now, I reflect on it, quite pathetic. But
I didn't say that.
My little guy was running around in circles, memorably, a few years ago, singing, spring is just around the corner, spring is just around the corner. So now, when spring is just around the corner, I get very excited about that. And when I say we
sweet.
Sing a song.
It's so pure.
It's so pure. The thing is, he's seven now, so I'll say it. And I'll be hoping that he'll join in the song again, and he'll just look at me like,
Dad, that's lame now.
Yes.
It's verging on religious culty.
Okay. Purity can be appreciated
nice
in separate ways.
So in an email exchange about this podcast, your agent said to me, Stuart would turn his hand with huge enthusiasm brackets, and maybe even skill to the challenge of creating a piece of visual art.
Wow. So I never see what they say.
Yeah,
and no one has ever fronted me on that before. No one's been like, well, this is what your agent said.
Yeah, because you know what the press quotes say.
What a method, yeah.
Yeah, so, and maybe even skill.
I was hoping that we'd do oils, but by that I mean I was hoping you'd teach me to paint with oils in the space of an hour.
I don't know how to paint with oils. That's something I really want to learn, because I always was taught with acrylics.
Yes.
And oils, they're a bit more intimidating.
I have a small kit of oils at home and a canvas that I bought 2 years ago thinking, I'm just going to do it. Yeah. I'm just going to try a paint. And I bought one canvas stretched.
Yeah.
And because it's there and pristine, I can't bear to fuck it up.
That's a lot of pressure as well when it's like you've got one chance. You need to buy like 10 canvases and just have a dabble on each of them, I think.
The other thing is that, less so now, but again, my daughter loves colouring in. She loves crafting. Mm. And that to me, crafting is what you do in a video game set in an apocalyptic future where you attach a knife to a baseball bat.
Yeah.
But crafting, like doing things with crafts, that's her jam. Mm. My son, when he was about 3, he got into using paint sticks. Have you seen these? They're so great for parents. Because
are they like crayons that you wet and they become paint?
No, you don't even need to wet them. They're just paint in a little tube. They're almost like a little lipstick.
Great.
They're so vivid and vibrant colours. They're brilliant. He would use those. And I had this thing, I don't know when was the last time you made art with or adjacent to a child.
Mm.
But I would feel like I'd try and draw a picture and it would instantly become, every line I made would be obvious or hackneyed or trite or something, and he'd just like that idea of that kind of blissful purity, that sort of innocence. Yeah. He'd just do a thing and it would all be totally new to him.
Yeah.
And I'd be aghast looking at him, not aghast, whatever, just open mouthed going, mm-hmm. Oh my god, look, it's so beautiful. And you know, in that way, that everyone, it's not that I think he's an artistic genius so much as children who haven't done a thing before just take a whole new approach to it.
Definitely. And they're not worried about failing.
Exactly.
And they're just so quick to work from their imagination, whereas I'm always like, oh, can I get a photo up of that so I can do it perfectly?
Totally. So I really, we have got one picture up on the wall. We've got loads of pictures on the wall at home, but one in particular, we invented this thing whereby we would both have either a paint stick or a felt tip or a pen,
mm-hmm.
and we would both be drawing the same time, like reacting to each other, like
sort
of, you know, contact improv dancing, but with in a medium. And I was
love it.
Very
Grace
and Perry.
Such a creative family.
Just lovely. I just really recommend it because it's also a great solution to the problem of what do I do with my kid?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which can be sort of like, sometimes you can feel in the early days that if you're not doing great creative stuff, you're letting the side down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? You're like, oh, I've got to be having great ideas. Whereas this is just like, oh, it's just a little game that you play together and you do it. Should we do a picture together?
Actually, Sam Fletcher came on the podcast and we each drew a shape and then swapped pictures. And from that formed like the basis of our drawings.
Yeah,
so that's quite a nice freeing way of doing something you wouldn't ordinarily do. But what are we going to draw today?
So I'll show you the picture and then I'll give you the story behind the picture.
Great. I've brought in a range of mediums. We've got felt tips, chalk, charcoal, pencils.
Okay, lovely. So so this is my friend Noel. And
I feel like I've met him.
You might have met him.
Was it at your wedding?
Yeah.
Probably would have met him there.
He's a dear, dear friend. And I have... I'm sort of obsessed with him. and one of the things I love is that when he eats, he takes really big monster bites. He's like a really sort of positive masculinity kind of guy. I think he's very strong. You can't really see it. He's wearing quite a baggy coat, but he's been doing kung fu for years and he's very sort of solid and very broad. He's got this lovely broad face with these little thick eyebrows and stuff. And I see him. I've talked about this on other podcasts, weirdly, because I'm obsessed. I see him everywhere. I see things like cartoon characters always remind me of Noel.
Yeah, he does look like a cartoon character.
He does look cartoony, right?
He's got like the triangular face and the sort of quite big
eyes.
Yes,
he's got these sort of almond eyes and quite soft sort of features.
Mm.
But so I have for years been taking candid pictures of him eating.
Amazing.
I couldn't find any of them somewhere. I thought it was on Facebook from the days when we used to put all our pictures on Facebook. But I've got like a collection. I don't know if they are collected. But somewhere on the sort of endless hard drives that you end up with, Google Drive, whatever, I've got like a collection of photos of him biting into a big, you know when a burger's too big for a bite, but they're going at it. I've got loads of them. I couldn't find one, but this is him eating what I think is a, it might be a baguette or a banh mi or something. Maybe a hot dog. Looks like there's chips in the little box. The expression on his face, I love.
It's because so cheeky.
The look in his eyes is, he's got his mouth full, so he can't complain at me. He's very kind of alpha, in a positive way. But he'd be like, you would, if he sees me doing something he disapproves of, he'd be like, he'd tell me about it. Yeah, yeah. He wouldn't be like, he wouldn't kind of goof. He'd be just like, pack it in, you know, in a way that
I'd be fine.
How long
have you known him?
Oh, since I was 11. Yeah, so 30 years, or well, more than 30 years. And but the look in his eyes and on his face is specifically, you fucker, you're doing that thing again, and I've got my mouth full.
It's
and
like
I can't
a sadness and a joy.
Yes, exactly right.
I love it. It's perfect. Yes. So we're going to draw him.
Yes.
I'm just going to sort of get the felt tips out so you have a choice.
That's nice. I feel it should sprinkle them in front of the mic so that they
fall out.
They're currently there for the benefit of the listener. They are currently stuck inside the little plastic tray they come in.
I don't do anything for the benefit of the listener.
Can I drop them on my...
Yeah,
on my,
please.
Here we go. This,
look.
These are the pens.
That's funny. You know what's just come out?
Oh, what's that?
Two Polaroids of Lou Sanders. This is how long it's been since I... Do you know why? I didn't... This is not a plant. Like,
no,
oh,
fine.
It looks like she's doing some hard drugs.
I mean, I didn't
just,
want to say...
She's just fallen over laughing.
I don't think Lou Sanders would do hard drugs. She's a clean living type.
It's
but it
we
does
went
look
away.
Like she's bent over a surface inhaling something.
Yeah, I don't know what she's doing. We went away for Brett's birthday.
Let's make it explicit that she isn't doing hard
she
drugs.
She isn't doing drugs. I ran a life drawing class on his birthday.
Oh, that's
so that's
lovely.
Why I haven't got these felt tips out since then, and hence the Polaroids of Lou.
Texted Brett only yesterday. I briefly considered a picture of Brett. Once I had the idea I wanted to do a picture of someone.
Yeah.
My brother's a brilliant illustrator, and he did a wonderful sketch of him as a Klingon. It's a self-portrait of him as a Klingon, and I have it framed
in my
I say office, cellar. but it's not been thrown in the cellar. It's been like, that's where I work. So I was thinking of people who've got good faces, and it's kind of people that I love, who I'd it'd be lovely to present someone with a picture. I don't know if I can do this with Noel, because... I mean, I will, but it will also annoy him.
Yeah, I love it. Can you see it well enough from there?
I think so, yeah.
I was almost going to...
Yeah, no worries. I need to do a little medium test.
These are coloured chalks, and these are
chalk?
Just
I think
your classic...
My fingers go weird.
Charcoal. Yeah, I've got hairspray to fix it afterwards.
Oh, that's clever. Is it just hairspray? I thought it was special. It was mounting
spray. No, I nearly brought the fixative, but it was like double the weight.
Yeah,
and
right.
I... Couldn't be bothered to carry it. So,
can you do pencil on top of?
Yeah,
these
I think
chalks?
I might do a mixture of mediums. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a picture of it on this so that I can work from my phone.
Oh,
so
cool.
I've got the right angle.
So if I did that, could I?
You can also turn the paper around if it's easier to do it. Portrait.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I might do that. Yeah.
Stu, do you consider yourself to be an artist?
Do you mean in like in kind of manually rather than in a kind of comedy way? Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I went to art college of a sort.
Yeah. Where did you go again?
Dale Dartington. It's like a devised art college.
Yeah.
An arts college. So there was painters and... No, there weren't. Were there painters? There were visual artists.
Okay,
so,
cool.
And there were dancers and actors-ish, devised theatre.
Actors-ish.
Yeah, well, it wasn't
actor
training.
We're all actors-ish, aren't we?
So did you
have to do lots of different disciplines like throughout college?
Yes, yeah. It was good mushroom country. You know, it was very kind of head exploring art type stuff. But we never did like life drawing or anything like that. I've never really done that. I've never been taught how to do that. But I do...
I think you'd like
life drawing. I think I would.
We should go one day.
Yeah, I think it'd be...
I'd like to do a life drawing class with all the... previous guests from the podcast and get everyone in a room together.
I think one thing that I got from my the most valuable thing I suppose that I got from Dartington was the notion, the sort of principle that as well as being an artifact to be admired, art can be a tool to be used. And that's one of those, I believe that deep down in my soul kind of things.
To be used for...
Like you can get like something out of art even if what you've made isn't beautiful. It's still good.
Definitely.
I mean, it's good for you to have done it even if no one wants to look at it. Like sort of folk art kind of...
Yeah. Do you think that applies to comedy?
No. Yeah. that's a good question, actually, because I think comedy has a lot of sort of elements of comedy aren't, they don't fit into the rules.
Mm. And after you went to college, did you, was that when you
cheated then. I did a line that I guessed was there and it wasn't there.
Oh, see, you know what you're doing.
I was like, yeah, his mouth's probably a bit like that. No, it's not. It's absolutely critical, the mouth.
Yeah, his mouth is sort of the most important thing of his whole expression.
Yes,
yes,
it's all leading to, you see, I have to, oh, he looks, oh, I'm going to have to scrap this.
I think it's a harder job for you because you know him. And I think I'm removed, so I'm just looking at the shapes of his face. But if this was someone I knew,
yeah,
I think I'd be like,
that's what I need to be doing. Also, how do you, it's so funny, isn't it, when you've got a pencil, how do you, like, nothing is a straight, you know, there's like the frown lines on his face might be a straight line. But like the other, how do you do someone's cheek? How do you do someone's cheek with a straight line? It's not lines that are there.
I think he's got quite a lot of triangles on his face, I think. Not on his face.
I don't think it's triangles.
but like if you look under his right eye, that's a triangle. And then his left cheek is a triangle.
I'm going to end up with sort of way too many lines in it. Plus, you should always start with the eyes, because if you do the whole thing and then fuck the eyes up, it's pointless, isn't
it? Yeah, you know,
but
the eyes
it's not
are halfway
because it's
down
an artifact.
Face.
Yes, that's true.
So after art college, you went straight to being a street performer? Or what was
I
your
was
trajectory?
Already a street performer when I went to art.
Oh, nice. So you were studying and performing.
Thing. Yeah, sort of. At summers, I'd go to the Edinburgh Festival during the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, now I've given him these sort of chops. That's not what he looks like.
Oh, you're doing him quite small. Oh, yeah, because you're going to fit in the food. I think I've not left enough room to do his...
Well, I think I'm going to be doing several...
If you know what I mean.
Never leave out a gentleman's baguette.
Maybe I'll have to cheat the... Do the baguette in post.
Can we do that? Is that allowed?
Have you got an iPhone?
No, I've got a OnePlus, and as soon as it breaks, I'm getting a Fairphone.
Ooh, because there's this weird thing now where you press on like the forefront of an image, and it sort of highlights the bit you want, and then you can remove the background.
Yeah.
But anyway, it looks quite magical.
I should point out as well, he's not wearing a little hat. That's someone behind him.
Ah, yes, I hadn't even noticed that actually. Going back to street performing. Unless you don't want to.
Talk about it. I'm happy to. I worry that I bore people about it because
I
love
it
so much. I talk about it all the time.
I just wondered what it taught you about performing live comedy.
Good and bad things, I would say. It taught me good and bad. It taught me to be sort of brave, I suppose, and it taught me that it can always go wronger. But it also, it kind of, I think it can, like, you know, you can end up sort of just shouting a lot and being all big, and actually comedy, you don't need to shout all the time. Like this.
Do you think that made your stand-up act bigger than it would otherwise?
I think I had to unlearn a lot of bigness. And I don't know if I'll never know if I succeeded. I just lied again. It's nothing like that. I just went, oh, that's what a shoulder looks like. now I'm doing fabric. I should have just brought... fabric's quite fun to do because you can get it wrong and no one knows, right?
Mm. Problem is, I've made him look very serious, but he's...
We've got to get the twinkle. I might even zoom in and just do the twinkle.
Yeah.
Like
it's hard to nail where the twinkle is. It's like his whole general demeanour is twinkly.
Now.
I was going to ask you if you do crafts with your kids, but you absolutely have already answered that. And
yes.
I know that you do. Do you have their art up on the walls?
Oh, yeah. We've got quite a nice little system for that, whereby we've got one of those tall radiators. It's one of my favourite things in the house.
You know,
like a really tall radiator. Nice. You've got all the classy fuckers.
Yeah.
But we've also got a load of... there's a type of toy called Magformers, which are little plastic triangles with... right, I'm going to stop being so precious and just make some big marks, I think.
Don't go too big.
So these magformers are like kind of magnets in shapes of triangles and hexagons and stuff. And they're a great toy, but what we're using them for is sticking art up on our tall radiator. And then we've also got this thing whereby... I'm going to rest this one.
Oh, yeah, please.
I'm going
to
rest this and then I'm
going to
try and do a sort of faster one that's bigger on his face.
That's what they usually do at Life During classes, actually. You'll do like a quick 2-minute sketch.
Right.
And then move on to a 10-minute and then a half hour.
Okay.
So we could do that. We'll do an 8-hour one.
Should I change medium? What are these called?
I think this is called Conti or something.
Conti.
I need to learn the name because every week I have the same problem. But I like it because it's like charcoal, but it's sort of terracottery, and you can sort of rub it and make it smooth, or do sort of darker lines with it.
So we've got a thing. We've got these little wires that I put up, which are. I'm just going to try and do this really quick. There we go. Maybe if you do it faster, does it become better? Is that how art works?
I think sometimes if you're precious.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm getting at.
It's like if you're looser on stage, it can help.
Yes. Well, I think that.
But not necessarily saying the words really quickly.
Yeah, sure. So we've got these little sort of sideways wires with tiny little pegs. So the wires are there permanently, and we peg up the art. And that was the plan. And then now it's all the same stuff that stayed there.
That's sweet. Does the radiator not affect the artwork?
Yes, I think it's gently sort of cooking it.
Yeah.
But in a way that I wouldn't mind.
In a museum, hanging it off a radiator.
No.
It's a Van Gogh melting on the floor.
Is this what your podcast often is? Is people kind of going, oh, fuck that. Oh, fucked it.
Yeah.
Is that, but that's
find
art,
it,
right?
Like, surprisingly hard to concentrate on both.
Yes, but I have never been interviewed whilst doing anything apart from sort of wanging on, really. That's, you know.
I think people like your podcast so much because you sort of, you dig deep, don't you?
I do dig deep, yes.
Into people's
vulnerables. into the vulnerables. Yeah, well, I want to, I suppose I want people to say stuff they don't normally say and like really reflect. I think quite early on, I forget who it was, but someone was on. Have you got any white chalk? No, we've got the pink there.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
good.
I was wondering that.
Someone quite early on sort of said the nicest things that comics have said to me after being on the show is, or like during the show is, oh yeah, I didn't really think about it like that before. Mm. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. Then I've helped somehow.
Yeah.
Because it's all kind of, you know, dark and scary and impossible, you know, life and art and everything. So if someone goes, oh, that's a good, do you know what? Or someone texts me later and goes, yeah, I've been thinking about that for ages or what. So that's really nice. And then obviously if people come and say, Glenn Moore said to me that. I saw Glenn Moore at the at an industry awards thing recently. And he said that he'd been having loads of people who'd come to his tour show. He's currently halfway through a tour. He had loads of people that come to his tour show because they'd heard him on my podcast, on ComCom, the comedian's comedian. I thought he was just kind of being nice. And he said, well, then he meets every person after the show. He kind of meets them on the way out. He does you and I know in comedy to be called vicaring, where you meet people at the door.
Oh, I see. Unintentional.
No, vicaring, where you shake everyone's hand on the way
God.
Out. Like a vicar.
Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure
you sort of have to do that when you do the Free Fringe, when you're sort of begging.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I like it, although
you're very good at it.
Well, maybe. I often find, for fuck's sake, that was going so well. I often find that I don't like to fail to recognise people, and because I'm quite niche, and as you say, the podcast is quite cult, which means small. It doesn't mean that, but it is quite cult. So there are people who are fans of the pod with whom I've had email correspondence, and I won't necessarily remember their faces, and I worry about that. I'm terrible with faces, which is either ADHD or by the time I get referred and officially, I'm being referred at the moment.
Are you?
And I'm really nervous that they're going to go, no, you're just a twat.
That's just your personality, sorry.
Yeah, that's you.
Plug, 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 plug. So I thought I'd let you know that I'm doing a work in progress show at the Leicester Comedy Festival on the 18th of February. I'm also doing a work in progress show at Mac Comedy Festival in Wales, and that is on the 28th of April. So if you're sort of around and about the Leicester/Wales area on those two specific dates, then I'd love to have you along.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I honestly think I might have a thing with faces. And for a while I wrote it off as, no, I'm just incredibly self-involved. So of course I, you know, when someone's talking to me, you know that thing where someone tells you their name and they tell you their name sort of six times and you don't know what, you know, and it's just gone.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the time I'm panicking about how I'm coming across.
Yeah.
And I'm worrying, oh God, are they, what have I said now? What are they, am I supposed to know them? Do I remember them? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a lot of, well, that might be a sort of ADHD thing whereby my memory is just shocking.
Yeah.
So, but maybe it's, maybe I'm just really sort of horribly self-involved.
Well, I think it's hard. When you're the person who's been on stage, obviously they're going to remember you more than you remember them. But I
yes.
think you're good at engaging with your audience, and even in the like Zoom shows you did, you're very inclusive with the audience.
Did you do one of those?
Yeah,
for us.
I think we drew, didn't we? Didn't we do some drawing?
Really? God, yeah. It all just flat again. Memory. I kind of. I hope we had a lovely time. I think we did. Nothing but good things about you. So I'm sure.
I'm sure
nothing was horrible about it. But I would like to have remembered it more than. I mean, it was
COVID, wasn't it? We all had a lot going on.
That was a bit weird.
But what I want to ask you is, if you were a guest on your own podcast, the Canadian's Comedian podcast, what would it be that you would dig deep to try and get yourself to answer?
Well, the challenge I have, I think, that is a very meta question for trying to do two things at once. The challenge I have...
trying to get you off guard.
Especially when I'm... doing quite well on the lips.
I'm all right with the lips as well.
It's a bit more, this is more of a cartoon. It sort of ended up quite cartoony in a way that I did. That wasn't the plan.
Do you mind passing that sort of.
This one. I was hoping to just jam a bit of white on and magically make a twinkle happen. Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there a thing you can do with these? What were they called?
Conti.
Conti. Is there a thing you do with Conti where you just suddenly erase it? Is there like a. Is it the white? Is that you put a bit of white on it?
Well, yeah, I've been... The white doesn't erase it, though. I have got a rubber, but I'm not sure it would rub out particularly
well.
No,
okay. Okay, not to worry.
That's great. I love what you've done there.
I'm excited about
it. Cool.
I'm trying to get the spirit of the tiger.
You have got the spirit of the tiger. I've made mine a sort of very broody, moody man, which I know this isn't true to the guy.
He has his moments. He can brood. So what was the question? What bits
would you be... If you were on ConCon Pod,
what would I want to get out of me?
The thing you were trying to get out of?
Yeah, nice. Well, why are you so scared, I suppose?
Are you scared?
Yeah.
What are you scared of?
I have a sort of negative core self-belief. I don't know what the word is for it. Maybe it's a negative core self-belief. So Felicity Ward has a wonderful way of describing this. She talks about it on my pod, and I've really taken this to heart, and I talk about it all the time. She talks about Old Faithful. And Old Faithful is the sort of baseball bat, the negative thought that you have that you reach for.
Yeah.
You clob yourself. Something goes wrong, whatever it is, and you sort of feed it into the language of, well, this proves that the stuff engraved in the side of this baseball bat is true. And you pick it up and wang yourself with it. And I think there is something in my old... I don't know... I think there is something like a sort of basic belief that I'm not good enough. And I don't know why. Like, one of my biggest fears
is... Not good enough at something.
Yeah, at something or for something. Or, like just really mortally average and tedious and... Do you know what I mean? Like I'm just kind of winging it on charisma, but I have nothing of any value to contribute. This podcast is a gift to someone who's doing a roast battle with someone.
Yeah,
imagine if you were to roast someone, you'd be like, I'm going to make ConCon as well, I'll be honest. get hold of that. Work out all their insecurities, weaponize them.
Perfect.
I'm regretting doing that bit now because I've realised that could have been clothes. I could have gone for a different colour. Like, just imposter syndrome, just the fear I'm going to get caught out and everyone's going to go, what are you doing here? Why on earth would you ever think that you could contribute to this, where whatever this is? And I don't know why I feel it so strongly. I've over the years had lots and lots of therapy, and I've got a couple of pet theories. Maybe there are kind of ADHD things. Like, I do find I've had loads and loads of therapy, and it means a lot at the time, and I really struggle to remember it or feel tethered to it or, try and make it sort of functional in my life.
Yeah.
you know, try and like, you hear a thing and you go, that's it, that's the secret, I've just got to remember that. And then,
yeah, you feel like you've solved it, and then yeah, something and then else comes along.
Next, you're like, nope, don't know what that is.
Do you still have therapy?
I've got a sort of rolling arrangement with my therapist whereby we're pretty much done, but I know I can always give her a shout. And we've, I met her in person once, actually. It was all Zoom related, and I find that very convenient. I'm very, very busy. And
so
I,
you started it on Zoom before you met in person?
Yes. Yes. And which bit of it? Which there's a I'm so close to getting the twinkle. I'm so close.
I'm so far away from the twinkle. I've been focusing on jawline, which is
You're on a hiding to nothing here. He's sort of put his face in such a funny shape.
I know.
Because he's got an expression and a mouthful.
Weirdly, I've made him look like my brother. What does that say?
Oh, well, that is Freud? Just the quality of Noel. No, that's just the quality of Noel. He's an everyman.
Does he always get mistaken for other people?
No, I don't think so. I do.
Do you?
I've got a very generic face. I've talked about this a lot. I really sort of look like everyone. I look very normal.
I don't think you've got a generic face.
Blandly handsome, according to Chortle.
Oh,
blandly handsome.
Three stars.
I think it was, actually.
That's just the sort of quote that's like so damning and like passive aggressive.
And then a taxi driver, a Somali taxi driver. Somalian? Somali? Who knows? Smiley, that was it. Friendly. He said, I look like Richard Hammond. I've not heard that in ages. I used to get that all the time. And I was like, wind your neck in, mate. Richard Hammond, come on.
And the question that you ask everyone, are you happy?
I am happier than, I was going to say usual, but I'm happier than...
I thought you were going to say you.
Than you, yeah. Are you as happy as me? That would be a great question. I'm pretty happy these days. I'm pretty fulfilled, but I worry that... worry about it. This is it. There's this root, this deep-rooted worry. I was had a chat with my mate Hutch, the fabulous, crazy Uncle Hutch, and... we were having a conversation in the Czech Republic about 25 Ooh. Years ago when we were talking. I'd ask him, what would you do? What would you actually physically do if you had £1 million? And he sort of told me his crazy plans. And he said, what about you? And I went, well, the problem there is, and he was like, what the fuck? Like, if taking the idea of suddenly being given £1 million and the first words out of my mouth are, well, the problem
made
with that.
Negative.
I'm just looking for problems all the time. And just kind of, I was on someone else's podcast recently. I'm sorry, this isn't my first.
What?
I found myself saying, well, probably to my detriment, I must have said it six times. Like, what do you do about this? Sort of craft comedy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I've always done that. Probably, I've got that horribly wrong. Probably it's a huge mistake, you know. Mm. It's fucking madness. What was the question?
Can't remember.
Oh, it was a good one. I felt like
I had
more to do. Am I happy? That was it, yeah. So, for sure, yes. I worry that a lot of it is happiness that is to do with child rape. I was always meant to be a dad. I remember Tom Tuck saying to me years ago, we were in the car with Carly Smallman. Mm-hmm. And Tom said, well, it's obvious what you are. And I went, what? And he said, well, you're a dad with no kids. And I went, oh, God, I am. Like, that resonates, right?
Yes. Yeah,
there's something about me. It's kind of...
description.
I'm a bit... I don't know what it is. I like a solution rather than to wallow in the problem. I like to fix things. I'm sort of capable. I'd get us out of a lift if it was stuck. Kind of daddish. I have a daddish quality, but I had no kids at the time. And having kids has made sense of my life to me in a way that I love. And I literally go to bed every night thinking, oh, I bloody love my kids. God, I love them so much.
Oh, that's so
nice. I just love them. I love them so much. But, of course, they're going to leave home one day. And I'll be like, oh, those were the years, you know.
Yeah.
So I worry. Now, what do you recommend I do with this? Because I'm quite enjoying putting this black stuff on it.
I love that. It's sort of purple. You're not colourblind, are you?
I'm not colourblind. But if that's purple, maybe I'm colourblind.
You might be.
It feels purplish.
Yeah. It's not black, though.
I'm trying to... well, there wasn't a black,
next,
was there?
Oh, bit of that. Does that look different to you?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Cool. I really wanted an exclusive.
Oh, that would have been great. Turns out I'm colourblind.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, I've enjoyed that.
You could maybe put some of that purple colour into the dark shades of his face.
Should I risk it?
Makes sense. Yeah,
should I risk it? I liked David Shrigley before he was cool, and I have to say, now that everyone knows about David Shrigley, I'm less inclined to like David Shrigley. That's not fair. I've seen one of his live. I saw exhibition. I had a book of his, Why We Got the Sack, from the museum. I thought he's brilliant. And I just really, like, I like that I like it and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I think his stuff's great and it's sort of ideas-y. In terms of actual, like, painters and stuff, I tend to like, I think I've worked out the name of what I like. It's like music, you know, you kind of, there's a type of music that always makes you go, oh, what's this? And mm-hmm. you kind of, or I do at least, I kind of gradually go, what is that? And years down the line you go, oh, it's, you yeah. know, it's like there's a band, a DJ called, or a, I don't know what he is, a music person called Rival Consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I like that. You know, Fortet or a Square Pusher, yeah, like but only some Square Pusher, like Tundra 4 by Square Pusher. Whoa. Okay. And so I've spent a long time going, what is that thing? And then you find, you're like, it's this. Of course, these days you can put one thing in Spotify and it'll suggest, oh, you like all of this stuff. And you go, yeah, yeah, that'll
do.
I
love that. How do they know? It's like targeted advertising. I'm all for it. Take my data, tell me what I like.
Yes, totally. So I would hope that there was something, I'm learning that what I like in painting is abstract expressionist landscapes.
Ooh,
but I couldn't nice. Really name any artists because that's the downside of the Spotify system, isn't it? You go on, I'm on Google going, I'd love to buy a painting. I've got like a proper expensive painting that I bought years ago. It was Raymond Browning or Brownall. It's squares. Okay. It's beautifully coloured, vivid squares.
Mm.
And I just bought it. It was like a lot of money. It was like it was about a grand. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm buying a painting. This is before I had children, of course.
Where did you buy it from?
Before I was aware of how many grapes I would need to buy. I bought it from a gallery called Something Exchange, Great Exchange maybe, which is on Walworth Road.
Oh, no,
it's in Peckham. No, Camberwell. Nice. And then the painter, years later, died, so it might be worth something, which is...
Great.
Well, I don't know if great, but I feel bad that I think that. But it is, it's kind of, it's like... I feel like,
well, that's why lots of people buy art, because they think it will, you know, up in value if the person conks it. Is that the phrase?
Yeah, something like that.
Would you sell it, do you think?
Well, this is it. It's like Bitcoin, isn't it?
Do you have any Bitcoin?
I can't tell you.
Yes.
I can't tell you because the weakest link in the security chain of having Bitcoin is people knowing you've got Bitcoin. I did really well on Bitcoin for years, mm-hmm. and then I got all excited and bought some more Bitcoin just before it all crashed, and I deleted all the good work I did. So I have some worthless Bitcoin that is trapped in an exchange that crashed because of that Sam Bankman-Fried guy. Or Fried Bankman, I can't remember, one of those. So I've got a small amount of Bitcoin that would be pleasing to get at, but I can't get at it.
So why can't you get at it?
Because the exchange has crashed and he was telling lots of, I don't know, I don't wish to prejudice the case by talking about it, but okay. It turned out that this particular exchange was, it's all bollocks anyway, it's terrible for the environment, which I didn't know when I got it, and you know, so it's all fine. But what was the question? You asked me something and I said it's like Bitcoin and I can explain why, and people have been furious.
If you'd ever sell the artwork or
Oh yes, so the thing about Bitcoin is if you've got some Bitcoin and you're thinking, hey, Bitcoin's on the up, you don't want to sell it because it's on the up. But if it's crashing, you don't want to sell it because it's crashing. So you might as well have thrown the money away because you're never going to take it out. And I feel the same about the painting. The difference is, of course, you can look at the painting on the wall and go, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So I can't see myself ever selling it because it's beautiful to look at. I like, you know, it's the sort of thing maybe a great-grandchild could go, hey, I hate this, and I've been left it, and I can sell it, and it's worth a fortune. That's a nice little gift from the past. I don't mind it being used like that. But I think while I'm alive, I sort of...
And if you could own any artwork in the world, what would you choose? Money's no object. Would it be the one you have?
Well, my clever clog's answer would be someone's joke. Like, I'd love to, like, give it, if you regard a joke as an artwork.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to buy it. I'd just want to have thought of it myself, so that didn't work.
I guess an NFT could be that. Could be a joke.
Yeah, no. But it's almost like you... I don't know.
Which joke? Did you have one in mind?
Oh, there's a few. I mean, there's some lovely jokes out there. I love jokes. Whose joke am I most jealous of? Something that's really been making me laugh. I keep thinking of it. I keep thinking of Tom Ward walking on with that haircut that he's got. And literally the first thing out of his mouth is, it's not a wig, good evening. I think, oh God, that'd be worth having that haircut for. I mean, he also looks good in that haircut. It suits him. I'm sure he doesn't just have it for the sake of the bit. Tell me, fellow artist, how do I put tension into this face? Because what's funny about his face is the tension that it's under.
Mm.
And... I can't seem to get, because they're quite scrubby lines, I need like one clean line that goes, whoop, he's stressing.
Yeah, it's almost the shape of the chin up to that, you know, his left cheekbone, I think. And like the weight of it.
Yes.
Isn't it? It's about.
Yes.
I don't know that I've got that, but I'm trying to get the sort of shading into his cheeks.
Got to do that bit. I've got to get
what there. I haven't got. Have you done the baguette? No. He's baguetteless.
Like, I'm just, I'm trying to make more of, like, the tension between the eyes and the lips.
Mm.
But it's so, how do you, what is that? What's that move? Is that like a sort of an artistic special move?
Between his lips and his cheeks,
well,
do
just
you say?
There's like it's this like, tension of like, like that, yeah. But I can't seem to get a line that.
You've been doing what I've been doing and sort of.
Just adding more lines.
Well, no, but like mimicking his expression while you're drawing
it. Yeah, for sure.
You went viral on Instagram.
Did I?
Yeah. Has doing videos for social media changed your approach to writing comedy?
No, but it should, but it shouldn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, so obviously the job has changed, right? Yeah. Since I were a frog spawn. Mm-hmm. Since I were a tadpole, that's the word. And now... Edinburgh this year was the tipping point for me, last year, whereby, all the people who built an audience online now have an audience, and Edinburgh is the place at which you sell those audience members tickets, yes. As opposed to going to Edinburgh trying to build a crowd there, which you can't do anymore for lots and lots of reasons, not least accommodation costs and all of that business.
Mm-hmm.
So, where's that one? So the job has definitely changed, and... a lot of people feel like, hey man, there's no gatekeepers. And I think the algorithm is itself a gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people chase it. And I think it's possible to do well on the algorithm without being good. But also, what I liked about my recent slightly viral sort of experience was that it was often my favourite stuff was doing the best.
Yeah.
So I kind of went, there is something in it. People aren't just passing shit around and going, hey, you know, there is some shareability. So, you know... I'm aware of, I feel very old when I think about it even. But really, yes, like what you should be doing is writing short jokes, right? You should be writing short jokes and then delivering short jokes. If someone could share like a sort of, if I could write one-liners, write some great one-liners, that really suits the medium. People got very short attention spans.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not able to cut up any of my favourite 5-minute long bits and put them on socials because they don't make sense there.
And have you found
so that's annoying.
It ruins when people come to see live stuff if they've seen stuff online before? Do you think that
I haven't, or? But I have heard. I was chatting to someone in a forthcoming episode of my pod who basically said they're getting a lot of people in from TikTok, and the people they're getting in from TikTok have never been to a gig before and sit quietly and then get a selfie afterwards because they don't know what the rules are. Which is that's a solvable problem. That's like we've got to educate the audience, you know.
Yeah. We're living in hell. That's what's happened.
Well, no, I don't know that we're living in... I'm not totally against it because the old system was also bollocks to an extent. You know, there's loads of people getting overlooked who were brilliant and they just weren't... You know, there's a lot of luck in any kind of career. I'm taking a big risk there.
What have you done?
I don't think it's going to pay off. It's getting ever so smudgy now.
Yeah, so is mine. Thank God we've got that hairspray.
Well, there used to be some quite nice white on his face and now there isn't, and now I've gone all over it everywhere.
Have you managed to get the sense that he's got food in his mouth?
Not really.
No.
I've mostly been focusing on trying to make it look like him. If you looked at it and you knew it was one of my... If I showed that to a friend of mine and said, which one of our mates is that? They'd know. So there's that. I mean, they'd look at it and not know about the food in the... If I squint, I sort of feel like I can see a little bit of him in there jumping out.
Do you think if he saw it, he'd know?
We'll find out. I'll text him in a minute. I'll say, who is this a picture of? So I was answering a question. So has it ruined it? I don't think it's ruined it, but I think it's changed it. And I think it is. There's a lot more of it to change. And when I started podcasting 10 years, 11 years ago now, I felt like I'd missed the boat. I felt like it was too late.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there is everything to play for and everything's going to continue changing in all sorts of miraculous ways. I think that there's an awful lot of rubbish online because there's no barrier to entry. Mm-hmm. It's like street performing. Anyone could just do it. You just put a case down in the street and start talking bollocks.
Aside from the financial costs, which does create a barrier.
But. Totally, it creates a barrier. And as a result, we're hearing on social media, because all you need is a phone, lots more voices that weren't being heard before. That can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
But the platforms aren't there to benefit humanity. They're there to sell advertising and keep you on the platform as long as possible. So, you know, they will benefit certain sort of behaviours. Like, I put stuff on TikTok. I don't have the app on my phone. I find it sort of toxic and awful. So I feel bad that I'm asking people to watch me there. But I suppose my angle is, if you're on it anyway, I'm one of the things you can see.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't let my kids have TikTok. I don't have it on my phone.
No, I've got it on my phone, but I don't look at it because I find it too stressful.
I literally couldn't achieve that. I would love to be able to achieve that, but I cannot.
Secret artist with Annie McGrath. Quick fire round. Portrait or landscape?
Oh God, I've given him a Hitler moustache. How have I done that? Portrait or landscape? Portrait, please.
Hockney or Cézanne?
Hockney.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
I've got an answer to this. It's the art is inherently separated from the artist. Like, the art is not the same, you know, the picture is not the same thing as the person. So it's sort of, to an extent, it doesn't matter who did it.
And do you think that's the same with comedy?
I think so. I think they're two different things. If you come up with a joke, all you've done is smash two ideas together in a way that they weren't smashed before.
Mm.
That could have been done and will be done by robots and AI and what have you, you know.
Yeah.
So
you don't think it matters that it is the artist performing it?
No, I don't want to pay money to a person I think is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, but I could still laugh at their observation,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I think it's anyone could have made that observation.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the opposite of believing in art, isn't it? But I just think that, like, you know, we're going through this with reading Roald Dahl, you know, or J.K. Rowling. One of the, quite apart from all the trans business, the Potter books I'm reading with my son, there's every bad guy's fat. Every fat person's a bad guy. It's good because you can have a sort of teaching, a learning, a moment for reflection. Same with Roald Dahl, you know. So that kind of art and the artist thing, yeah, I think, like, the stories of Harry Potter are objectively interesting stories, even if the world building doesn't sort of stand up to any, you know, doesn't stand up. But they're for kids, aren't they?
Yeah. Tortured artist or rational businessman?
Well, bit of both, really. Frantic, wobbly mum. No, frantic, wobbly side of me. Emotionally wobbly side of me as a result of quite high-intensity mum. And calm, practical problem-solver side of me based on dad. Mm-hmm. So what I like is creating enormous problems and worries and then trying to solve them in a very efficient way.
Lovely. Danish pastry or pain au chocolat?
Oh, that's hard. I mean, pain au chocolat is always my instinct. That's one of my go-to things.
Delicious.
Bit of 5 solid minutes on pain au chocolat in the new special.
Oh, really?
Worldwide premiere February 23rd.
I didn't know that, actually. That's why it's made an
Did you? Did you? That's nice.
Yeah. I've done some research. Don't worry about that. Talk about or think about art.
Well, it's me, isn't it? Talking.
Looking at a painting close up or far away?
What kind of question is that? What does that even mean? Looking at something from far away or close? I do it middle. I mean, they're all good, aren't they? What kind of question is that?
London or Bristol?
I can't answer that. It's been London for years, but I have stopped resenting Bristol recently.
Because you lived there how many years?
I do live there 7 years. I've lived there for 7 years now. But I think Bristol now, because London is for the young and it scares me now when I come here. Frightening place.
Private view or view of privates?
Private view, please.
Podcasting or live performance?
Live performance. Podcasting has a wonderful place. I love podcasting. But it's... I love being on stage, making up a thing, having a joke that doesn't work, and then you suddenly blurt out the perfect version of it on stage. Come on.
Being the interviewer or the interviewee?
Well, I like both. I don't get stressed about being the interviewee. I get very stressed about being the interviewer in a way that doesn't benefit me at all and wastes my time and is pointless, but I really get stressed about it.
What stresses you out about it?
Oh, the idea of being caught out not having done my homework or insulting someone or drying. It's ridiculous. Even when it's people I like and I'm intimately acquainted with their material.
Have you ever offended someone?
Not really. And if anyone did get offended by little old me, they're probably a prick. So, do you know what I mean? I shouldn't be worried about it at all.
Yeah. Art or music?
Music, please.
Art or books?
What? Art? Come on. I don't know.
Comedy or art?
Comedy, please.
Thank you very much. You talk about comedians being simultaneously the most powerful and the most vulnerable person in the room.
Yes.
Do you think that's unique to comedy, or is that true of all artists?
Yes, I think that's true of all artists. You make yourself vulnerable, don't you? You put yourself out there and go. But I think it's true of all of sort of people. You know, anything you do, you're inviting criticism and problems and stuff like that. So I think we should all be kinder to each other.
And do you value reviews?
I try to worry about them less these days.
Do you read them?
Other people's, yes. I find them very interesting because I can go, that's bullshit! And I can look at them really objectively. I find it hard to look at my own ones objectively.
But do you like to know when they're in?
No. God, that ruins me. The thing that I'm good at is pissing about. And that's a very free, happy state for me. And as soon as I know reviewers are in, I am no longer able to piss about.
Yeah.
And it all goes wrong, and there's a risk that the magic. I'm like, oh no! Suddenly I'm at school again, and I'm being judged, and I can't bear it.
Yeah. Right, done the twinkle in his eye, I think.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well done.
I think I'm going to leave it because I'm worried about ruining it even more. What's he called? Paul?
Noel.
Sorry, Noel. Been staring at you for an hour and then I've called you Paul. He won't know. Right. Thank you very much, Stu.
Thanks, mate. I've done three of them there. There we are.
Chat to you.
There's that one. That's all right.
They're beautiful. I love them. They're very, like, illustrative.
That one's a horror.
I like the scrawly lines on the
third
one.
I like the scrawly lines.
Actually, I think the third one you did is my favourite.
It's probably the best. I did that in about a minute.
And that's your loosest one.
Yes. Nice and loose.
Is there anything you'd like to say about your upcoming global premiere?
You can find out about it at stuartgoldsmith.com, which is a Wix website I made myself. And
love
although
it.
I'm sure that they're not sponsors of this particular show, and I'm not being paid to say this, but it is absolutely worth spending 2 days learning to use Wix, because you can just build your own fucking website. So it's got a lovely little spinny advert that I put on it in about 20 minutes.
Ding,
ding, ding. Ta-da, stuartgoldsmith.com, and it'll tell you all about the show, and it's a really fun show.
Great. I can't wait to watch it.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, sadly, that brings us to the end of series 4. But, oh, what a time we've had. What was your favourite bit?
Me? Yeah, you. I really liked it when you had that girl who won the Traitors on, and she turned up at the podcast studio with Wilf, who, was also on the show. I really like that bit as well. Hannah Bichkovsky and Wilfred Webster. Yeah, that was great. You, what did you like?
I liked when you did like a Christmassy one with Morgana Robinson, and you painted like a bit of a Christmas carol.
Yeah, that was good too, wasn't it? Well, that's my two posh people impressions out of the way. Guys, thank you so much for supporting the podcast. We really appreciate you listening. Remember to check out Stuart Goldsmith's show when it comes out. You can find that via his website, stuartgoldsmith.com. He's absolutely fantastic. And if you want to support Secret Artists, then you can. That's the good news. You can support the podcast by donating a few quid or more, for God's sake, whatever you want, via the link in the show notes, because as Van Gogh said, every little helps. Guys, it's been emotional. I've had a nice time. If you want to see our artworks from this week's episode, remember to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Art Pod. Listen back to episodes that you haven't listened to before. Enjoy yourself. Listen again if you've already listened once. You might pick up things on the second listen that you didn't pick up on the first time. We're going to be working on series 5, which will be released, well, who knows? We're going to have a little bit of a break. You can go to the loo, get a drink, do whatever you need to do, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. Goodbye.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.